الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah for bringing us together again to continue our studies in Ulum al-Maram. In our last class, we were in Kitab al-Janaz, the book talking about ruling concerning funeral prayer. And the last hadith we read was the hadith of Abu Huraira concerning the story of that woman that used to sweep the mosque for the Prophet. And we said when she died in the evening, the companions hurriedly prepared her and buried her without informing the Prophet. And in the morning when the Prophet did not see her sweep the mosque, he asked about her. And they said she died. And the Prophet ﷺ blamed the companions for not informing him. And the Prophet ﷺ went to her grave and prayed Salatul Janazah on her grave. And we said that hadith indicates that if you meet the Salatul Janazah, you can go to the graveyard and stand on the grave of the person and observe your own. Alright, you can go and stand by the grave and do four takbirah and observe and perform the Salatul Janazah on the graveyard. That was where we stopped. The next hadith is the hadith of حذيفة سوان حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ينهى عن النعي رواه أحمد والترمذي وحسنه. He said, حذيفة said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to prohibit النعي. النعي means announcement of death. Okay, the Prophet used to prohibit announcement of death. Scholars say what the Prophet prohibited was announcement of death in a manner that was done during the period of Jahiliyyah. Okay, during the time of Jahiliyyah, when a person dies, they will appoint a town crier who will be going around the market area, market places, and be announcing so person has died, and they start mentioning the attributes of that person, saying all kinds of things about that person. Sometimes they will be saying things that are not true and things like that, just so if they do it as a sign, as a show of pride, okay, as a show of pride and trying to invite large people. Okay, so it was that type of practice that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited. Okay, that's what we mean by announcement of death here. So it is prohibited. In our own recent times, we have some areas where when somebody dies, somebody will come and take the last speed anymore and do takbirat and then begin to announce so person from so tribe or from so area has died. Okay, and they will be announced. So that was what the Prophet, this type of practice is haram, alright, it's prohibited in Islam. But just to announce that somebody has died so that people can gather and perform the Salatul Janazah upon the person, or so that people can go and commiserate with the family of the dead, that will not be prohibited inshallah. Alright, that will not be prohibited inshallah. And that's what we're going to see in the next hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira. So, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعى النجاشي. Alright, he said the Prophet ﷺ announced the death of An-Najashi. Okay, An-Najashi is the king of Habasha. Okay, An-Najashi is the king of Habasha. Habasha is Ethiopia. Okay, scholars say that, or historians generally say that the word An-Najashi is not his real name. An-Najashi is the name of the throne. It's just the way in Lopaja here, the throne of our king here is called, it's what? It's Megari, isn't it? Uh-huh. So it's Megari. So when you say Megari is dead, you have not really mentioned the name of the person that is on the throne. So the word An-Najashi is the name of the throne. Okay, but his real name is Ashamatu bin Al-Abjad. That is the name of the king himself. But his throne is called An-Najashi. And he was somebody who at that time initially was a Christian, okay, was a Christian, but he was a just ruler, a kind and just ruler. And that was why the prophet commanded his companions to migrate to Ethiopia, to Habasha, when the persecution of the Quraysh became too severe for them to bear. Alright, the prophet said, go to Habasha, because there is a king who nobody is treated unjustly under him. So the prophet testified that he was a just ruler. And when the Muslims migrated there, he received them warmly, alright, and granted them something like asylum, right, granted them protection. Nobody was able to humiliate them while they were in Habasha. He allowed them to practice their Islam freely, okay, until they later migrated to Medina. Now, so Al-Najashi continued as a Christian ruler until close to his death, he accepted Islam. Alright, he became a Muslim. He became a Muslim, so he died as a Muslim. And the prophet was in Medina, and Angel Jibril descended and informed the prophet that Najashi has died as a Muslim. Do you understand? So the prophet announced his death. He said, "Anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam na'a an-Najashi fil yawm alladhi mata fi." He announced his death on the day that he died. Alright, on the day that he died. Why is the narrator emphasizing this? Because this is a miracle. Alright, because there's no phone at that time. Alright, the man is in Ethiopia and the prophet is in Saudi Arabia in Medina. Yet the prophet is announcing on that very day that he died. You know, even if you want to write letter, it will take months before the person will travel down to Medina. But the very day he died, the prophet announced that he has died. That can only happen through miracle. Alright, in those days, because there's no phone. Right. And it was Jibril who informed the prophet that he died as a Muslim. Otherwise, people around saw him as a Christian king. Okay, but he took the kalimat al-shahada before he died, and so he died as a Muslim. But for the fact that he is dying in a Christian land now, we don't know whether Salat al-Janaiza will be performed upon him, isn't it? And that was why he said, "Wa kharaja bihim ila al-musalla." The prophet went out with the companions to the musalla. Alright, the musalla here is referring to the musalla al-Eid, where they used to observe Eid prayer. That's what he means by musalla here. So he asked them to go out to the musalla, they fasaffa bihim, and he arranged them in rows. He arranged the companions in rows. وَكَبَّرَ عَلَيْهِ أَرْبَعًا. And he did four takbirat. Okay? So this hadith shows that, like we said, you can still announce death if the purpose is to inform people so that they will gather for the salat, the funeral prayer, or that they will go and commiserate with the family of the dead. Okay, but to carry last week and be announcing to the public the way we do, that is not part of the practice of the Prophet. That looks more like what they were doing during the time of Jahiliyyah. Okay, so that is the type of announcement that is prohibited. Number two, this hadith is the foundation of Salatul Ghaib. Alright, it's the basis for Salatul Ghaib. That is praying over somebody in absentia. Alright, Salatul Ghaib. No, Najashi is in Ethiopia and the Prophet and his companions are observing funeral prayer in Medina. So there's no dead body in front of them. Okay? So Salatul Ghaib is permissible. Okay, but scholars differ. When should Salatul Ghaib be observed? Some scholars of the opinion that you only observe it for somebody that we are not sure of. People observing Salatul Janaiza for him where he died, just as it happened with Najashi. Najashi is in Ethiopia, it's a Christian nation, we don't know. The Prophet and his companions feel that probably there will be nobody to observe funeral prayer for him in the Islamic manner, and that was why they did for him. So some scholars restrict it to this kind of situation, saying that you only do it for somebody who died in a land where we know that nobody prayed for him, or we are not sure if anybody prayed for him. So we now perform it for him. While some other scholars say that you can do it for anybody, okay, even if we are sure that where he died, they perform Salatul Janaiza upon him, we can still do it in our own place. Okay? Because to them, Salatul Janaiza of the essence is prayer, it's supplication. So just as those who are supplicating for him, we should also supplicate for him here. Now we have a third opinion which is middle. Alright, this opinion says that it's like a combination of both. We do it for those we know that the salat was not performed for them, or we doubt if it was performed for them. Then we can also do it for people who were of great contribution, who made great contributions to Islam. alright, who made great contributions to Islam, either in terms of their knowledge, okay, or in terms of their work, or in terms of their rule, if they were rulers, for instance. Okay, so if we have a great scholar, alright, from any part of the world who died, okay, and we know that he has contributed a lot to the advancement of Islam, knowledge wise, okay, then we can also observe what is denied for him here in Nigeria. Alright, maybe the scholar died in Egypt, or died in Saudi Arabia, or died in any other country, we can also perform. Or we have a wealthy man, alright, whose wealth has been of great benefit to Islam and the Muslims, alright, even if he died in another country, we can also observe Salat al-Janayz for him. Just the way we did, many people did in Nigeria when, when Alassane Dantada died, alright, you know, when Alassane Dantada died, in different places people observed Salat for him, alright, because he was a wealthy man and he contributed a lot, he used his wealth a lot to help Islam and the Muslims. Or a just ruler, we can do it for him. Otherwise, any other person, we should not do Salat al-Janayz for a Salat al-Janayz for people generally. It's only for people who have made great contributions to Islam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And then take note here, when he said, for Salat al-Janayz, he arranged them in Sufu. Okay? That is the Sunnah. The Sunnah of the Prophet is that the Sufu, the role for Salat al-Janayz should be at least 3 rows. Alright, even though there is another hadith on it, but Ibn Hajar is not bringing it. Okay, so that's what I'm mentioning. When we pray over a dead person, let us arrange our rows at least in 3 rows. That's the least. It can be more, but it should not be less than that. So if supposing, even if we don't have large number of people, if somebody dies and the people are available to pray for Janet, at let's say 10, okay, they should still arrange themselves in 3 rows. Maybe the first row can be 4, the second 3, the third 3. Alright? If you try as much as possible to get 3 rows. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now. So that is it. Okay, finally, on Najashi. So what do we call Najashi now? Do we call him a Sahabi or we call him a Tabi'i? No? You know, he died with the Prophet, isn't it? And he died as a Muslim. Okay, but well, he didn't see the Prophet. You understand? He didn't see the Prophet. He was in far away Ethiopia. But he saw the companions of the Prophet. Isn't it? The companions migrated to that place, so he saw them. Right, so what should we consider him? Should we consider him to be a Sahabi or a Tabi? It means that he is a Tabi, even though he lived during the Prophet. Alright, but for the fact that there was no meeting between him and the Prophet, he cannot be considered as a Sahabi. Alright? He is a Tabi. May Allah have mercy on him. Then the next hadith, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه ما قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من رجل مسلم يموت. The Prophet said, no person Muslim that will die, فيقوم على جنازته 40 رجلا. Then 40 people will stand to offer the funeral prayer for him. لا يشركون بالله شيئا. Those 40 people, they do not associate anything with Allah. إلا شفعهم الله فيه. Except that Allah will accept their intercession for him, for the dead person. رواه مسلم. Alright, the hadith was supported by Muslim. This hadith indicates that when a person dies, we should have much as possible to have large number of people that will pray for the person. Alright, for example, if you can have 40 people, okay, 40 people pray for that person who do not associate partner with Allah. This is where the problem is. Alright, who do not associate partner with Allah, who do not commit, say, La yushrikuna billahi shay'an. Number one, what type of shirk are we talking about here? Is it shirk al-akbar or shirk al-asghar? No? Akbar. If the shirk al-akbar, it means they were not even Muslims in the first place. Isn't it? When you commit shirk al-akbar, you're out of Islam. Isn't it? So, the hadith comprises both shirk al-akbar and shirk al-asghar. Alright? If you have people among those observing Salat al-Janayza who commit shirk al-akbar, the implication of that is that they are not even Muslims. Isn't it? Shirk al-akbar takes you out of Islam. Alright, so their supplication will be useless. Do you understand? Now, if you know how people who do not perform, who do not commit shirk al-akbar, they commit shirk al-asghar, then their supplication is still going to be weak. Alright? Shirk al-asghar, that's where the problem is. a lot of people commit shirk al-asghar. What are examples of shirk al-asghar? Riya, show off. Alright? Show off. Okay? In fact, those among those who will come to that place will be those who are coming because they want others to see them. Isn't it? Yes, there are people who, we hear that somebody died, so let me go, if I'm not going to go, then I don't come, make I go. So his purpose of going is for people to see him. That's already real. You understand? Also, among Shirk al-Asghar is to swear by other than Allah. You have many people around. Somebody say, I swear by thunder. Somebody say, I swear by my mother's grave. I swear by this, I swear by that. And they say they are Muslims. Shirk al-Asghar. You understand? Yeah, Shirk al-Asghar. So, finding 40 people, which is very unfortunate, no, it should not be so. Sometimes finding 40 people who do not commit shirk al-asghar may become difficult. Right? It may become difficult. But we hope that Muslims, that's why we need to continue to enlighten ourselves so we will avoid shirk al-asghar. So that when somebody dies, we can guarantee at least 40 people that will pray for that person who do not commit shirk in any form, whether shirk al-asghar or shirk al-akbar. So that, because that once you have that 40 in the group, alright, Allah will accept their intercession. Meaning Allah will accept their supplication for the dead person. Alright, irrespective of whatever sin that the dead person is, has committed while he was alive. Do you understand? Okay, so the minimum is 40. Otherwise, there is another narration that mentions 100. Alright, there is another hadith where he said 100 people. But in Islam or in general, the general rule in the Sharia is that when you have two hadith or say the mentioning number, we stick to the lowest. Because that is the yaqeen, that is certain. Okay, just like when you are praying, if you are doubting whether you are in the second or third raka, you make it which raka? Second raka. Alright, so we take the lowest because that is certain. So at least 40 people who do not commit shirk in any form, Allah will accept their supplication. So number one, we need to always start more than those to gather many numbers of people to observe the Salat Jalasa, so we can have large number, and then we need to enlighten ourselves to abandon shirk in any form so that our supplications will be valid, inshallah. Then wa an Samura bin Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala sallaytu wara'a nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala mura'atin matat fi nifasiha faqama wasfaha. Mustafa Ali. Samura bin Jundub said sallaytu wara'a nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I prayed behind the Prophet, ala mura'atin matat fi nifasiha, upon a woman who died during childbirth. Nifas is that blood that comes out when women give birth or when during childbirth. So this woman died during childbirth, okay? And the Prophet prayed Salatul Janazah on her. He said when the Prophet was going to stand, he stood for Qama was for her. He stood facing her middle part. Alright, he stood opposite her middle part. Meaning the waist. Okay? That's not what. When you say was for her with sukun on him. Alright, it means muqabil wasfaha, meaning opposite her waist. Okay, it's not from wasat with fatha on the top or on the chin. Okay, when you say wasat, it means among. That means you can say jandas to wasat on qawm. I sat down among the people. That's not wasat with fatha on the chin. But when we say was with sukun on the face, it means facing middle. Okay, so when we put the dead body on the ground and want to pray, the imam is expected to stand by the side of the way if it is a woman. What if it is a man? Alright, he will stand by the side of the head. Okay, he will stand by the side of the head. Now, so what if it is a man and a woman? Do you understand? What is a man and a woman? What do we do? Do we do it one after the other? Or we can put two of them together and pray one. We can put them together. Alright, we can put them together. We are going to put the man first, alright, before the woman. So in that case, the man will still stand by the side of the head of the man. The woman will be behind the man. Okay? And they can now pray. Okay? So that's how we do it, inshallah. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت عائشة من الله بتبيزها said والله لقد صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على ابني بيضاء في المسجد. She said, I swear by Allah. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah prayed upon the two sons of Bayba in the mosque. Okay? These two songs, their names are Sahal and Suhail. Alright? This Baiba is the nickname of their mother. Alright? It's the nickname of their mother. Her name is Dai. Okay? But her nickname is Baiba. She was very white, very, very light. And that's why people call her Baiba. So, when her two sons died, the Prophet conducted the funeral for them inside the mosque. Aisha is relating this to show that funeral prayer must not always be performed outside the mosque. Okay, it can also be performed inside the mosque. Do you understand? That's why she is saying this. So it depends on convenience. Okay, if it is convenient for us to observe it inside the mosque, we observe it. If it is not convenient, if the prayer is too much, we can take it outside. Okay, no problem. All is permissible, inshallah. Then one Abdurrahman bin Abi Layla, Kala. كان زيد بن أركم يكبر على جنائزنا أربعا. Okay. عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى reported that زيد بن أركم, who is among the companions of the Prophet, كان يكبر على جنائزنا أربعا. He used to do four takbirat upon our dead, those who die among us. وَإِنَّهُ كَبَّرَ عَلَى جَنَازَةٍ خَمْسًا. Then there was a time that he did five takbirat upon a janaza, upon a dead person. فَسَأَلْتُهُ. So he said, I asked him. فَقَالَ. He said, كَانَ رَسُولَ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَمْ يُكَبِّرُهَا. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to also do it. Okay? رَوَى مُسْلِمْ وَالْأَرْبَى. So it's reported by my Muslim and the four reporters. That is Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasai, and Ibn Majah. Okay? So this hadith indicates that the takbirah that we do when we are observing Salat Janazah usually is four, isn't it? Takbirahs are four, but we can do five. Okay, we shall call. Okay, let me read the next hadith. The next hadith says, "One Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said, 'Annahu kabbara ala Sahal bin Hanif sixan.' That Ali himself, when he was going to do the funeral prayer for Sahal, or as in Hanif, he did six takbirat. Okay? Six takbirat. وَقَالَ. He now said, إِنَّهُ بَدَرِيٌّ. He said he did this because Sahal bin Hanif is among those who witnessed the battle of Badr. That was made by Badariyun. رواه سعيد بن منصور وأصله في البخاري. But the origin of this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Okay? So, the takbirat. Okay? In another narration, it's not here, but in another narration it was reported that at the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ used to do four takbirat, sometimes he does five, sometimes he does six, sometimes he does seven. Okay? But since the time of the death of Najashi, okay, when Najashi died, the Prophet did four. And after that, he continued to do four till he died. Okay, he continued to do four. He died. So, and that's why there is another narration that Umar gathered the companions and told them that henceforth, during the time of Umar, henceforth, whenever we are going to pray Salat Janazah, we should do four takbirat. So it became like an ijma among the companions. Okay? But that does not mean that when we see somebody does five takbirat, we say he has done something wrong. Okay? But what was prevalent, alright, towards the end time of the life of the Prophet was that he did four takbirat. Okay? So that's why in this last hadith we saw that Ali did six takbirat. Now, why should we do more than four sometimes? Okay, some scholars who are the who can do it are saying that you do it for people just like Salat Dugai, that we said again, right? People who are of immense contribution to Islam. Okay, just like Ali said, now he said, Innahu Badariyun was among those who witnessed the Battle of Badr. You know, those who witnessed the Battle of Badr are special people. Alright? They are special people because they were people that the Prophet announced to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that he has forgiven them irrespective of what they will do again till they die. While they were still alive. Do you understand? While they were still alive, the Prophet announced to them that Allah says that اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِيْتُمْ قَدِ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Do what you like. I have forgiven you. Alright? Because that was the first battle in Islam. And it was a battle that was very critical. And their number was very few compared to the number of the Kufar. In terms of number, they were few. In terms of preparation, they have very few, very weak preparation. They had just they had just two horses among them. While the Kufar had up to like 70 horses. they have few camels. The kuffar had up to like 300 camels. Yes, sir, and the kuffar were about 1,000. They were just 300 and something. Some scholars say 314, some say 313, like that. Okay? So they came unprepared and their number was few, and yet they stood their ground. Okay? They were not afraid. They stood by the Prophet. You know? So they have a special place in Islam. And that's why Ali decided to do six sectors. So if we have somebody who has contributed a lot to Islam, and there's nothing wrong if we do more than four. We can do four, we can do five. Alright? But generally we should do four. Okay, that was what the Prophet continuously did before he died. Since after the death of An-Najashi. Alright? Since after the death of An-Najashi, the Prophet limited himself to four takbirat. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكبر على جنائزنا أربعا. Jabir said the Prophet of Islam used to do four takbirat upon those who die among us. ويقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب في التكبيرة الأولى, and he recited فاتحة after the first takbir. Okay, رواه الشافعي بإسناد ضعيف. The chain of transmission is weak. Okay, but the meaning of the hadith is correct, because the next hadith validates it. وعن صالح بن عبد الله بن عوف قال صليت خلف ابن عباس على جنازته. I prayed behind ابن عباس. ابن عباس was the imam upon a dead person. فقرأ فاتحة الكتاب. He recited فاتحة الكتاب, that is in the first takbir, after the first takbir. فقال ابن عباس said, لتعلموا أنها سنة. I did it for you to know that it is the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, what this means is that when he was reciting, he even raised his voice aloud a little bit so that people will hear. Alright, otherwise the recitation is supposed to be done silently. Alright, but he deliberately raised his voice a little bit so that people will hear him reciting Fatiha, so that they will know that it's part and parcel of Sunnah. So how do you observe Salatul Janayz? We do four takbirat. Okay, we have already explained the position that the imam will stand. Even if it's a woman, will stand by her waist. If a man, will stand by her head. We face the Qibla, and then we do the first takbir, and we recite Fatiha. We recite Fatiha after reciting At-Ta'awwudh, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, then Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Okay, to the end of Suratul Fatiha. Then after that, we do another takbir, that's the second one now. When we do this second one, what do we recite? We recite Salat upon the Prophet, Salat Ibrahimiyya, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim, to the end. Okay, so we do Salatu Ibrahimiyya. Then we do not takbir again. Okay, then when we do this second, the third takbir, what do we do now? We supplicate. That is when we supplicate for the dead person. Okay, we supplicate for the dead. There are different supplications narrated from the Prophet of Allah, which are seen in the next hadith. Okay, you can memorize anyone and supplicate for the dead person. Okay, then we now do the fourth takbir. Now when we do the fourth takbir, what do we do? What? For all Muslims, okay? Yes. Some scholars say that there is no any specific supplication there again. What we simply do is رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Okay? While others say that you can still supplicate. Alright, it's not a problem. There is a hadith that indicated that you can still supplicate. So you are not supposed to horribly say salam. Some people usually after the fourth takbir they go to salam alaikum. Alright, no. Alright, if you say salam, fine, that's not wrong with the prayer, but what I'm trying to say that you can still supplicate. Alright, you can still supplicate generally, and you can do this rabbana. Oh, you know this rabbana is encompassing. Isn't it? It covers everything. So you can do something like that before you now say salam. Alright, and if it's one to explain to the right. Alright, say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alright, and you end the prayer. Now during the takbirat, are you supposed to be raising your hand, or you're supposed to raise the hand after the first one, and then the subsequent one you don't raise your hands again? No? Why? What did you do? Yeah, the first one is not an ihram, alright? But the subsequent one, they also takbirat. Allah Kulha, there is no any hadith on this matter. That's what I want to establish. Okay, there is no any hadith indicating that you are supposed to raise your hand or you are not supposed to raise your hand. Alright, but there is a narration from Abdullah bin Umar Alright, which indicated that he raised his hand. Alright, and Abdullah bin Umar is somebody who is very keen in imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why some scholars say that for him to do that, it must be that he must have seen the Prophet doing it. Alright, otherwise there is no any hadith that indicated that is that shows directly that you are supposed to be raising your hand or not raising your hand. So if you raise your hand, no problem. If you don't raise your hand, no problem. Okay, it's not something that we should worry about. No problem, inshallah. Right. So, like we said, in the, after the top figurat, that's when you do supplication. So, what are the supplications? You have some here. So, وَعَنْ عَوْفُ الْمَالِكِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَنْهُ قَالَ صَلَّى رَسُولَ اللَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ جَنَازَتِهِ عَوْفُ الْمَالِكِ said, the Messenger of Allah prayed صَلَاةُ جَنَازَة upon a dead person. He said, فَحَفِظْتُ مِنْ دُعَائِهِ said, I memorized. Alright, from the supplication that he did, I had him doing this and I memorized this one. What did he say? Allahumma ghfir lahu. Oh Allah, forgive him. Warhamhu. Have mercy on him. Wa'afihi. Alright, give him peace. Or make things easy for him. Wa'fu anhu. Pardon him. Okay? Some scholars say wa'afihi. Wa'fu anhu. All means the same. It means pardon him. Okay? But what type of pardon? Wa'afihi. Some scholars say it means pardon him for the sins he has committed. Wa'fu anhu, pardon him for the obligations that he did not meet up with. You know, when you commit what is haram, you have committed a sin, isn't it? When you fail to perform an obligation, you also committed sin. Because something is wajib upon you and you didn't do it, you have committed sin as well. So scholars like Sheikh Uthaymeen, while in his commentary on this supplication, he said, wa'afihi, I for the sins that he committed, the haram that he committed. Wa'afu anhu, I forgive him for the obligations that he will not meet up with. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And also, wa'akrim nuzulam. Alright, receive him with honor. The word nuzul is the reception that you give to a person when a person comes to your house. Alright, when a person comes to your house, you give him a good place to sit down, you give him water to drink, you bring food for him. That's a reception, it's called nuzul. Alright, so when we say akrim nuzulahu, meaning honor is reception. Alright, make his reception honorable. But what say madkhalahu? Alright, make madkhalahu his place of entrance. Where is his place of entrance? His grave. Alright, so make his grave spacious. What say madkhalahu? Make his grave spacious. Alright, waqsilhu bil ma'i. Wash him up. Wash him with water. Wasalj and ice. Walbarq and snow. Okay? Wash him. Wash him with water, ice, and snow. Somebody may ask, if you want to wash a clothes that is dirty, which type of water will wash it more? Is it cold water or hot water? Which one? It's hot water, isn't it? Yeah. It's hot water. Yes, ordinarily if you want to wash a clothes or anything that is dirty, the water that will take off the dirty more easily is hot water. Okay, it's hot water. But what the Prophet is saying, wash him off with water. He's not mentioning ice, that's cold water and snow. Okay? Reduce the sound. So, scholars say the wisdom behind mentioning cold water here is because sins are hot. Alright? The sins we commit are considered to be hot in nature. Alright? And that's why to wash off sin, you need cold water. Allah ta'ala alam. Allah could have this what the Prophet said. He said water, ice, and snow. He now said, وَنَسْكِهِ مِنَ الْخَفَايَا. Oh Allah, clean him from his sin. Alright? كَمَا نَسْكَيْتَ الثَّوْبَ الْأَبْيَضَ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ. Just the way you clean a white cloth from death. وَأَبْدِلْهُ دَارًا خَيْرًا مِنْ دَارِهِ. Replace for him a house or a home better than his home. Alright? The place for him, a home in the hereafter, that will be better than his home in this world. Wa ahlan khayran min ahlihi. And a family. The place for him, a family that will be better than his family in this world. Okay? Wa adkhilhu al-jannah. And admit him into paradise. Wa qihi fitnat al-qabr. And protect him from the trials of the grave. Wa azab al-nar. And from the punishment of hellfire. Alright, so this is part of the supplication that we can make after the third tasbih during Salat al-Janaza. Okay, this is part of the supplication. When you say replace his family, replace for him a family better than his family here in this world. Scholars say it can have two meanings. Alright, it can have two meanings. It can mean giving him, when you say family, it will mean what? Your wife, isn't it? Your wife, your children, your parents, these are all your family members, okay? But specifically, it can refer to your wife, okay? It can refer to your wife. So, what we say replace for him a wife better than his wife here in this world, this can be for people whose wife will not be lucky to enter paradise with them, isn't it? Uh-huh. So, if their wife are not going to enter paradise with them, we are asking Allah to give them huru'in. Alright, that is the women of paradise. Alright, women of paradise. Okay. But if their wives are going to be lucky to be in paradise with them, then what it means is that may Allah make their wives better than they were in this world. Do you understand? You know, when we go to paradise, our body is not going to be this type of body again. Right? It's going to be a special type of body that can withstand, right? That can withstand the circumstances and situations of the hereafter. Because the circumstances and situation of the hereafter are too enormous for this kind of body. You understand? Yes. You know, some time ago I was reciting in one place to some of my students who were describing women of paradise. Alright? And we said women of paradise, one of the hadith verse said that their brightness, the brightness of their body, they are shining. Alright? And that brightness is such that if one of them is to peep into this world, her brightness will cover the brightness of the sun. Do you understand? If she is to peep into this world, her brightness will cover the brightness of the sun. So we in this world, can you look at the sun? That's why that the sun, according to scientists, is 93 million miles far away from the earth. Do you understand? And yet we cannot stare at the sun directly. So if they go and do that, how will they go to her? I want them to come. You understand? With this body, you cannot look at her. Yes. And that's why you need a special type of body. Alright? When you are resurrected, you will be resurrected with another special type of body to be able to withstand the situation. Mm. So, what we say, unless you replace your wife with a better one, meaning if you kill your wife that was between this one, that will be with you in paradise, you know, may Allah make her more beautiful, alright, her character will be better than her character in this world, and her quality generally will be better. Do you understand? So that is what I mean by replace a family better than his family. Then he said, protect him, walking him, fitnat al-kabr, protect him from the trials of the grave. And nobody will be protected completely from the trials of the grave. Nobody will escape that trial. The trial of the grave here refers to the questioning of the angel. Alright? And everybody will be questioned. Okay? They are going to question you, Ma Rabbuka, or Ma Dinuka, you know, and what do you know about this prophet? Okay? So, who is your Lord? What is your religion? And what can you say about Muhammad? So, what we say, protect him from the trial of the grave, it means that protect him from an evil result after the examination. Do you understand? Meaning, make him pass the exam, make him pass the test, be able to answer the questions correctly. Then protect him from azab now. So, these are part of the supplications that we can make. Also, the next hadith gives us another option, another supplication that we can make. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْهُ قَالَ كَانَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا صَلَّى عَلَى جَنَازَةٍ. Said the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he prays upon a janazah, upon a dead person, يَقُولُ, he used to say, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِحَيِّنَا. Oh Allah, forgive those of us that are alive. وَمَيِّتْنَا. Forgive those of us that are dead. Forget. Forgive the living among us. Forgive the dead among us. وَشَاهِدْنَا. Forgive those that are present among us. وَغَائِبْنَا. Forgive those that are absent.
among us, wasagirina, the young ones among us, wakabirina, and the old elderly ones among us, wazakarina, the male, wa unzana, and the female among us. Allahumma man ahyaitahu minna, O Allah, whoever you give life to among us, fa ahyihi ala al-Islam, make him live upon the religion of Islam. Wa man tawaffaitahu minna, and whether you take his soul among us, fa tawaffahu ala al-Iman, take his soul upon faith, upon Iman. Allahumma la tahrimna ajrahu, O Allah, do not deprive us of his reward. Wa la tastina ba'dahu, do not lead us astray after him. Rawahu. Or do not subject us to trial. Okay, in some narration it is wala tastina, do not subject us to trial after him. In some narration it is wala tudillana, do not lead us astray after him. Wala tastina ba'dahu, or wala tudillana ba'dahu. Rawahu Muslim wal arba. So this is also another supplication that we can make. Okay, here we observe that the Prophet said, man ahyaitu minna fa ahyihi ala al-Islam, whoever you give life to among us, make him live upon Islam. Wa man tawaffaitu minna fa tawaffahu ala al-Iman, and whoever you take his soul among us, take his soul upon Iman. Alright, why did we say Islam in the first instance and said Iman in the second instance? Okay, ordinarily we should understand that the word Islam and Iman, okay, whenever they are mentioned in the Quran or in the Hadith of the Prophet, whenever they are mentioned individually, or we have a Hadith that just mentioned Islam alone, then it comprises both Islam and Iman. And when you have a text, either Quran or a verse or a Hadith that mentions Iman alone, then it comprises both Iman and Islam. But when they are mentioned together, alright, then they have different meanings. Islam will refer to physical acts of worship, while Iman will refer to what you believe in your heart. Do you understand? This is derived from the Hadith of Jibreel, or that popular Hadith, Hadith 2 in Abu Nawawi, when he said, "Akhbirni an al-Islam," and then the Prophet mentioned physical acts of worship, alright, prayers, zakat, fasting, hajj. Alright, when he now said, "Akhbirni an al-Iman," the Prophet mentioned things that you believe in Allah, believe in the Messenger, believe in angels, believe in the Book, believe in the last thing, believe in destiny, and things like that. So, when Iman and Islam are mentioned together, then Islam will mean physical acts of worship, while Iman will mean things that you should believe in your heart. Or when they are mentioned separately, alone, then they mean what the other, they encompasses both the other ones. Alright, so Islam will mean both Islam and Iman, Iman will mean both Iman and Islam. So here, when the Prophet said, whoever you give life to among us, make him live upon Islam, meaning make him live by doing acts of worship to you. Do you understand? Let him be somebody, when you are alive, somebody who prays regularly, somebody who fasts, somebody who gives zakat, somebody who performs hajj, who does all physical acts of righteousness. But when he is about to die, alright, you know, when the angel comes to take your life, that time you cannot do anything again, isn't it? Uh-huh. So what will save you that time is what? It's your Iman, what you believe in. So we pray that whenever the angels of death come to us, they will meet us with the state of Iman. You understand? So that's why the Prophet says, first of all, for whom? And then Iman. You know, say, Allahumma la tahrimna ajrahu, O Allah, do not deprive us of his reward. What is the meaning of this sentence? Do not deprive us of his reward. Does it mean that we are saying that, oh Allah, his reward for the good deeds that he did, will give us here out of it, or give it to us? Do not deprive us of his reward. What does it mean? Is that the meaning? Anyone, alright, it can mean, what it means is that, do not deprive us of the reward of attending his janazah, the reward of preparing him, washing him, shrouding him, alright, following him to the burial ground and conducting the burial for him. All these are acts of goodness. Alright, so Allah, do not deprive us of this reward. Also, do not deprive us of the reward of our patience. Okay, for his love. Isn't it? Because for him to die, some people will be bitter. Isn't it? But they have to be patient and accept what Allah has decreed. So that patience also entitles them to reward. So they are saying, oh Allah, do not deny us this reward. Okay? And then do not lead us astray or subject us to trial after him. Okay? So that is what... Nobody? We continue? Okay, so... وَأَنْهُ أَنَا نَبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰهُ قَالَ إِذَا صَلَّيْتُمْ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ فَأَخْلِصُوا لَهُ الدُّعَاءِ. Brother, when you pray over a dead person, then supplicate for him sincerely. فَأَخْلِشُ لَهُ الدُّعَى. Okay, supplicate for him sincerely. So be sincere when you supplicate for the dead person. Meaning that, first of all, I say all this implies is that when you are supplicating, don't just make general supplication. Alright, you see, like this hadith is just read now, the hadith of Abu Hurairah. Alright, you can see that the supplication is not directly to the dead person. Because he said, Allahumma asbirin lihayyina, all of us, wa majidina, wa shahidina, wa ladak, to the end. There was no direct supplication for him. So it means that it will not be good for you to just recite this one alone and say quiet. If you do this one alone, it means you are not supplicated for the dead person. You only supplicated generally. Even though he is included. But in this last hadith we just read now, it's saying that فَأَخْلِصُ لَهُ. Alright, supplicate for him specifically, sincerely. So I try to supplicate for the dead person sincerely. Okay, before you now supplicate for the people generally. Do we understand? No. So that is what is meant by this hadith. Then وَأَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ, the Prophet said, أَسْرِعُوا بِالْجَنَازَةِ, hurry up to perform the janazah. فَإِنْ تَكُ صَالِحًا, if the dead person is a righteous person, فَخَيْرٌ تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ, you people are taking him to goodness. He's going to meet goodness in his grave. Alright? وَإِنْ تَكُ سِوَى ذَلِكَ, but if it is other than that, فَشَرٌ تَضَعُونَهُ عَنْ رِقَابِكُمْ, then it is evil that you are taking off from your neck. Okay? Now, so this hadith indicates that when a person dies, then we are supposed to prepare him without wasting time. Okay, don't waste time unnecessarily. Wash him, shroud him, gather people, let them observe the salat upon him, and we go and bury him. We do not delay, except there is a valid reason to delay. Alright, sometimes there could be valid reason to delay. Okay, like when we meet somebody, if we come to a house now, meet somebody dead, and we see signs of foam coming out of his mouth, indicating that maybe he died as a result of poison. We can try to take him to the hospital to perform autopsy. That's a valid reason for us to know who killed him or what killed him rather. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So if there is need, if there is suspicion surrounding death, we can delay. Alright? Or if he has some loved ones, some relatives who are afar and they're on their way coming down to attend the funeral, we can wait for them a little bit, let them come so that they will see their dead person. Okay, so when there is a valid reason to delay, we can delay. Otherwise, we should hurry up to prepare the janazah. But when we say hurry up, that does not mean we should do everything in a haste. Alright, we should do it correctly and perfectly, but without wasting time. If it's a righteous person, we are taking him to goodness. He's going to meet goodness in his grave. Alright? It's good. Because why when we bury him, they are going to open for him a door leading to his abode in paradise. Alright? Even the fragrance of his house in paradise will be coming to him inside his grave. Okay? Now, but if it is not like that, you know, you can see the Prophet didn't want to say if it's an evil person. He just said if it is other than that. What is other than that? You to think for yourself. Alright? If it is other than that, then at least you are taking off his evil from yourself. Alright? But he didn't say again that you are taking him to evil. Alright? Because everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't condemn anybody. Then the next hadith, anhu qala, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد الجنازة, whoever witnessed the funeral prayer or the funeral preparation, حتى يصلى عليها, you witness that person till they prayed over him, فله قراء, you have a reward equivalent to what is called قراء. ومن شهدها, and whoever witnessed it, حتى تدفن, till he is buried, meaning you witness the prayer, then you follow him again to the baragam for the burial, فَلَهُ كِرَاتًا, you will have reward equivalent to two kirat. قِيلَ, somebody said to the Prophet, وَمَا الْكِرَاتًا, what do you mean by two kirat? قَالَ, the Prophet said, مِثْلُ الْجَبَلَيْنِ الْعَظِمَيْنِ, meaning reward equivalent to two great mountains. Okay, mustafakun alayhi. Yeah, this is a bit of one. Wali Muslim, in the narration of Muslim, it says, hatta tuba fil lahad, if you witness it till he is placed inside the grave. Alright, till he is placed inside the grave. Let us read the next hadith, it's all the same. Wali Bukhari, Aydan, min hadith Abi Hurairah, it says, man tabi'a janazatan, whoever follows the janazah, janazat al-Muslim, the janazah of a Muslim, imanan, with faith, wa ihtisaban, hoping to get reward. Wa kana ma'ahu hatta yusalla 'alayha, and he was with him till they prayed over him. Wa yufrahu min dafniha, till they finish burying the dead person. Fa innahu yarji'u bi kiratain. Such a person will return home with two kirat. Kullu kiratin mithlu jabal Uhud. Each of these kirat is as big as the Mount Uhud. Okay? So these hadiths are indicating the enormity of the reward that you stand to get when you witness funeral prayer, or and also follow it till the person is buried. So it is it is highly rewarding. For those who have been to Saudi Arabia before, the Mount Uhud is in Medina. That was where the Battle of Uhud took place. This is the second battle in Islam, and it's a very big mountain, even bigger than this our Mount Fatih here. Okay, so you will have reward as big as something like this. Okay, that's a great reward which we should not underrate. Alright, in Islam you have so many things, so many bonanzas, alright, that will give you plenty reward. Do you understand? We are supposed to take advantage of this bonanza. Alright, whenever you hear that you do something, you have great reward, take advantage of it. Okay, because you will need this reward when you leave this world. You will need it. On the other hand, there are people who will be looking for just one reward for their scale, for the scale of good deeds to outweigh that of bad deeds they will not get. May Allah not make us among this one. Yes, some people just need something just small to drop on their scale of good deeds so that it will outweigh the bad deeds they may not get. So let us take advantage of this. So you witness the prayer, then you follow it to the burial ground. And let us take this last hadith, then we'll stop. وعن سالم بن عن أبيه سالم reported from his father أنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبا بكر وعمر. He said he saw the prophet وأبا بكر and أبو بكر وعمر and عمر يمشون أمام الجنازة. They were walking in front of the dead person when they were taking him for burial. Okay, رواه الخمسة, it was reported by five narrators. وصححه ابن حبان. This hadith was authenticated by Ibn Hibban. وعله النسائي. But Imam Nasai said this hadith is defective. Okay. وصائفة بالإرسال. Other scholars of hadith said this hadith is mursal. Hadith mursal is the hadith that a tabi'i narrates from the Prophet. Okay, a tabi'i, as we have said several times, cannot narrate from the Prophet, because a tabi'i did not see the Prophet. He is supposed to narrate through a companion. So when the tabi'i now says, "Qala Rasulullah Sallam," or "I saw the Prophet," I didn't see the Prophet, it's not possible, alright, because he is a tabi'i. So when you have that kind of problem in chain of narration, it makes the hadith to become weak. Okay, so that is why there is no any authentic hadith concerning where should be your position when you are following a funeral procession. You understand? You see someone who said that you should be in the front, something you should be behind, something you should be by the side, the left side or the right side. The most authentic opinion is that wherever you stand, it's okay. Yes, there's no problem. You can walk in front of the dead person, you can walk behind it, you can walk by the side, by the left side or the right side, all is allowed. Okay, because this hadith is not authentic. Okay. So whichever one is not a problem. But there is a hadith that indicated that those that are riding should be behind. Alright? Yes. You say a rakib should be khalf. Alright? Riding. In those days, those who are riding horse or camel should be behind. Okay. Now, should we now say that those that are driving in car now should be behind also? Yes. So you can't stay for front of motor, put in the comfort of your car, you stand there. Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Okay? Allah told him, when the Prophet said Arraq in that hadith, he was not referring to those driving cars. Okay? He was referring to those that are riding on what? Horses, camels, and maybe donkeys or whatever. But in this modern situation, if those that are riding, if it's convenient for them to be driving their cars behind people walking, so they are on Nima. Or you know they are going to be faster. So if they decide to go and go and be waiting for us in the Baragan before we come, may Allah give us knowledge of Barakallahu wa bihamdik, shara la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.